The pandemic brought attention and more money to health budgets around the world. But as the risks associated with COVID have faded away, so has that much-needed funding.
And this has really deprived the social sectors, such as education and health. What you see is that maternal mortality is pretty high. The reductions in child mortality are insufficient to meet the global sustainable development goals. Almost 59 countries are expected to miss the target for under 5 mortality. So that's the bottom line.
So I'm Sanjeev Gupta. I'm a senior fellow emeritus at Center for Global Development. And before then, I was at the IMF for 31 years.
Sanjeev Gupta is also a co-author with Victoria Fan of How to Heal Health Financing, published in the December 2024 edition of Finance and Development magazine. Journalist Rhoda Metcalf met up with Gupta to discuss the challenges of funding public health systems in sub-Saharan Africa.
So, if you look at the past 20 years, the health situation in low-income countries has gotten a lot better. But in recent years, especially in many African countries, we're seeing that improvement in health slow down. So why is that happening?
So first of all, public health spending on health in these countries has stagnated at about 2% of GDP in recent years. About half of what these countries spend on education.
Okay.
To put this in perspective, in advanced economies, they allocate almost 10% of GDP on health.
Right.
And emerging economies, they're spending around 7% of GDP. So the question that comes up, and why is this spending so low in these low-income countries?
Right.
This is because the tax revenues in these countries have stagnated since 2012.
Is there a reason why tax revenues have dropped so much in these countries?
They were growing until 2012, and it seems that the interest in pushing for reforms in the tax area has waned.
Okay.
And of course, taxing people is a politically difficult issue.
Sure.
Countries are reluctant to embark on major tax reforms, which entail losses for some classes. They have to pay more taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So that growth in tax revenues that we were seeing between 1990 and 2012 is not to be seen anymore.
Right.
The other is the donor aid. The donor aid has also stagnated at about 1% of GDP.
Mm.
And I think we should also take into account that since 2008, 2010, the debt-to-GDP ratio in these countries has increased quite a bit. And in some countries, they are paying almost one-third of their revenues at debt service on both domestic and foreign debt.
Right.
And that is a, you know, quite an important constraining factor in increasing spending on health.
Okay. Your F&D article focuses quite a bit on the donors. I mean, you point out that the number of international donor organizations has increased dramatically over the past 15 years. You know, on the face of that, that almost sounds like a good thing, right? More organizations working to improve health services in Africa. But you argue that this is actually creating problems. I mean, how so?
You're totally right. And the reason why the number of donor organizations have increased is because they are focused more on what we call vertical funds. Vertical funds are disease-focused funds which donors are supporting.
So you're talking about, like, what kind of diseases are we talking about?
So it could be tuberculosis, it could be AIDS.
Right.
Now, these are well-meaning programs, but they have multiplied and they have created inefficiencies because you have many players in this area. All are using their own systems. All these things are not coordinated well. And then you end up with a scenario where there's very complicated setup for delivery, and that setup is really not addressing the local issues.
Right. So you've got all these organizations that are focused on very specific diseases, and then the sort of general public health issues are sort of pushed to the side.
I mean, they are targeted to health, but they are really serving their objectives. And, you know, as I said, they are well-meaning, but reason why they end up doing it is because they have to report to the parliaments of donors how this money was used. They rather tell that they were able to save 100 lives, whereas if they were sending the money through the national budgets, it is a bit hard for them to be able to say what the impact was. And then there are concerns about governance and leakages.
Yeah, and you sort of, along the same lines, you point out that there is the additional problem in the way that outside donors operate, which you call localization, right? So what is localization?
Yeah, okay. Localization means using the local companies which are functioning within the country to deliver health services.
Instead of the government?
Instead of the government or the contractors. There are many companies which are doing that. And there are issues about the cost because, of course, they're paying higher wages than they would pay to the local players. Then the issue is whether you are getting the right outcomes.
Right.
And so money is given to the local non-governmental organizations to deliver certain services. And those NGOs are hiring locally and providing the services. But it is still not clear whether you are getting better outcomes on the ground as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the one bigger issue which we talk about in our paper is that these NGOs are also sucking resources away from the government, from the health sector. So they are competing with government's health sector. The supply of these personnel or health personnel.
Health workers, you mean?
Health workers is not unlimited in these countries. So you end up driving the local wages up, but also you may suck some people out of the government to work for the local NGOs or CSOs. So that is another issue that people have observed.
At the same time, you point out in your paper that some governments don't end up spending all the money that they do have sitting in their health budgets. So why does that happen?
That we have observed in the case of sub-Saharan Africa countries. To give you some numbers, so we found that roughly $4 per person per year was not spent on average in the sub-Saharan African countries, which is equivalent to the amount these countries spend on primary health care. So it's a lot of money which is left underutilized. We don't see that happening for education budget.
So why is that?
That's a question which needs much more research. We don't really fully understand why that is happening. Is it because the procurement systems for health are more complex? Is it because the health administrators are not well trained to be able to spend all this money? This issue needs further study. And I think people are focused on it now. But I also believe that if international institutions such as the IMF and the World Bank were to provide assistance to build capacity in the area of budget execution for health, that would be quite helpful.
I'm just wondering about other solutions relative to the NGO and donor element in this story. I mean, how do you approach a solution, you know, given that a lot of the concerns that donors have that, you know, if they work with local governments, that their donor money could be lost to corruption, for example? I mean, that is not an unfounded concern, right? So what is the way forward, do you think?
One thing which we proposed in our piece, we say that eventually these countries have to rely on their own resources to support the health sector. In other words, they have to grow their revenue base. And the IMF has found that the potential for raising revenues in these countries ranges between 5 to 8% of GDP. Of course, over time, but the potential is there. And that will take care of some of these issues which are arising with donor funds and so on and so forth.
I guess the question is, you know, what do you tax? Are there obvious places to pull that money from?
There are some countries, to give you an example, like Rwanda, like Senegal, that have grown their revenues by putting in new tax administrative systems, by introducing new technologies, and they've managed to collect more resources. One has to also look historically, at some of the countries like South Korea and others, they also had similar kind of tax base before they started to grow. And they managed to grow as well as collect more revenues. A lot of research which has been done at the IMF also indicates that countries don't really start to grow until they have reached a certain minimum level of tax to GDP ratio. And that happens to be about 15%. Once they are at that level, they have resources to fund development, to embark on the right kind of taxation policies and so on and so forth, which they are not able to do when their tax to GDP ratio happens to be around 10% of GDP, which is the case for several countries in sub-Saharan Africa.
So how comes down to taxes?
It comes to taxes. It also comes to international coordination. We suggested that there should be a mechanism to coordinate all this assistance which is being given.
Okay.
That could minimize some of the fragmentation that we have seen. And that's consistent with some of the international declarations which have been made by donors.
Okay.
And then, of course, they can also think of using common systems for procurement, which can reduce some of the inefficiencies that we have found. This coordination could start with some international bodies like Global Fund for Aid and Tuberculosis, etc., collaborating with Gavi, which is an alliance for delivery of vaccines. They're sharing the same building in Geneva. Why can't they share the same procurement system?
Right.
So there is a multifaceted approach. Some actions on the domestic level we started with, which is the revenue, strengthening the revenue base. But then you also need steps at the international level. This would help improve the resource availability, the loss in resources as a result of inefficiencies, and should lead to an improved delivery of health services.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting and very complex issue. Thank you, Sanjeev Gupta, for giving us a better understanding of it.
Thank you very much, Rhoda. I appreciate your speaking to me.
Sanjeev Gupta is a senior fellow emeritus at the Center for Global Development. He was speaking with Rhoda Metcalf. Look for his article in the December 2024 edition of Finance and Development magazine at imf.org/FND. And go to imf.org/podcasts to find more of these podcasts and sign up to our weekly newsletter. Our handle on X is at @IMF_podcast. I'm Bruce Edwards.
And I'm Rhoda Metcalf. Thanks for listening.